Almighty God, we thank you and praise you for your love and grace in our lives and ask in Jesus' name that as we continue to worship you, that you would speak to our hearts. Lord, that you would show us your ways. And God, that our hearts would be attentive to your voice. And Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be pleasing to you, my rock and my Savior. Amen. As we continue our series, Questions We'll Ask in Heaven, we come to a series of questions I know that you would like to ask God, which revolve around the topic of suffering. And can I have my screen back? There we go. And the question is, why must we suffer? Now, this last week, I was out for a couple of days as I had some type of a touch of flu or maybe a nasty put you down on your back kind of cold. Either way, I didn't feel good, and you could say that I was suffering. Wasn't I suffering, honey?
Or was she suffering?
She suffered the week before. My daughter suffered the week before that. But it's important to understand the difference between whether God causes or God allows or God has nothing to do with our suffering in regard to living. It's important to understand this difference. Does God cause? Does God allow? Or does really God have nothing to do with it? Because our perception on this topic of suffering is important. Now, the questions you asked didn't talk about a cold or a flu. No, two of the questions that touched on this topic were much more poignant. Why did you take my sibling away from me so soon? Why did you take my child away from me so soon? Now, we all know of someone who died much too soon. And when someone dies too soon, we wonder if God or why God would take them. Because it just doesn't make sense. There's so much life to live. And the hurt that these people feel can be truly immense. Two of the other questions talked about the innocent ones. Why do you let bad things happen to young kids? Why do little children suffer? We've been praying for little Mitchell for about a year. He has a type of cancer that impacts mostly just innocent young children. My niece had this disease called neuroblastoma as she was turning 2 years old. I remember my brother as we were up on the roof reshingling it, and he reached a moment of frustration at the news for his daughter, and he began pounding a nail into the roof and then kept pounding till I thought he was going to go through the roof. Why do children, especially the little innocent ones, suffer? Another person asked a question which really encompasses, why allow suffering or tragedy at all? Now, this isn't a question of recent origin. In this morning's reading, we hear King David, through the psalmist who lived over 3,000 years ago, ask basically the same question that we ask ourselves at points in our lives. Let's read that again together. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me? So far from my cries of anguish. My God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer. By night, but I find no rest. The psalmist begins his grief over this expression of loneliness and dying. Loneliness in the absence of God that is compounded further in the psalm by the presence of evil human beings who offer neither companionship or comfort. Where are you, God, in my suffering? Even long before this psalm, the question of suffering existed. In the book of Job, Job's friends wondered what he did what he did to cause God to literally take everything he had away from him, including all of his children, his servants, his livestock. Although we know through reading Job that God didn't cause these things to happen, Scripture is clear that God allowed Satan to bring this loss in Job's life. We know that before this loss, Job was considered an upright and righteous man. Yet Job was never given a reason by God as to why he suffered. And Job, for the most part, didn't sense God's comfort during his time of tragedy. Like the psalmist, "God, where are you?" However, even in all the loss that he experienced, Job would say, "The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Praise be to the name of the Lord." And through it all, he kept his trust in God. His faith in God was his most precious possession. And in the most difficult suffering, he would not relinquish it. Now, in the 1500s, two men sought to explain God to people, and in this, the suffering of people. John Calvin took the side that God is sovereign, the supreme ruler over all creation, which God is, and that nothing we do is done without God willing it to be done, not causing it to be done, but willing it to be done. This suggests that God causes events to occur which cause us to lose our loved ones and to see our children suffer. Jacob Arminius also believed that God was sovereign. But he took the side that God gives us, you, me, everyone, free will to do as we want in our lifetime. And as a result, what happens because of our own will or our own actions, our devices, whatever we do. Now, here's the problem with these two things, is that Scripture supports both of them. That God is sovereign and can do what God wants to do, and that human beings have free will to do as they want to do. We see God doing what God wants to do when we see God destroy the world by water because people were exceedingly wicked all the time. We see this when God sends the 10 plagues to Egypt when the Hebrew people are enslaved and Pharaoh wouldn't let them go, culminating in the death of many firstborn children, innocent children. We see God being God. You see God as God, and frankly, we do not always understand why God does the things that God does. It's a mystery to us. Who really knows the complete mind of God? But we also see that God allows us the freedom to rebel and or make choices that go against God's will for us. We see this when Adam and Eve took that forbidden fruit from the tree. We see this when Cain chooses to kill his brother Abel in the field. We see it countless times in the Old Testament as God's people choose to leave God and worship false idols. What are we to do? How are we to understand God? Does God cause us to suffer or not? Or does God allow us to suffer? Or does God have nothing to do with it? For me, I go back to God's original intent. We go back to the beginning when God created the universe, the sun and the moon, the earth, the vegetation, and all of the animals. And finally, human beings created in God's image. What did God say after creating everything? That it was very good. Very good. And then God gave to Adam and Eve their purpose. Do you remember what their purpose was? Let's see if we can find his purpose. Can you go to the next screen, Michelle? Can you just hit? Go back. Can you go back? Just keep going back to the front. All right. All right, I've got it. There it is. God blessed them. Read it with me. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish, the sea, and the birds in the sky, and over every living creature that moves on the ground." You know, if I summed it up, I'd say it this way. Make babies and be good stewards or caretakers of all that is created. Implied, take care of your world. You're in charge. Now, what is not directly stated here, but implied in other places of the creation story, is that God is in a relationship with his creation, including you and me. God asks Adam and Eve to not do one thing. One thing. Don't eat from the tree in the middle of the garden. Now, granted, through temptation brought on by the evil serpent, they disobeyed God and they chose to do what God told them not to do. And as a result, what entered the world? Sin. At this moment, the whole course of the world has changed. God's original intent has been broken. God is still God, and God can do whatever God decides to do. Adam and Eve and all who follow, though, still have the free will to do as they want to do. But now the world exists with sin. We say that all who are born today are now born with a sin nature. We all have this bent toward disobedience to God and to each other. And as a result, we all fall short of God's glory. That's what Scripture tells us. You can see this throughout the Bible. You can read it in any history book. You can see it every day on the news, and each one of us on our best day still sins. Some sin more by actions. Some sin by inaction. And yet some sin in our thoughts as well as our deeds. We seem to have moved far away from making babies and being good caretakers of the world that God left us. Now for me, I cannot see a loving God intentionally harming us for no good, like a kid with a magnifying glass on a sunny day going out to a sidewalk filled with ants. Like I tried to show the kids, sometimes people make decisions which then impact others for evil. We see it at its worst when someone takes a firearm and goes into a place full of people and fires on the unsuspecting. We see it when someone consumes alcohol and under the influence gets behind a wheel and ends up hurting or killing others. We see it when people filled with revenge or jealousy or envy do things to spite others. We see it when we let words slip from our lips out of anger that demean or disrespect or simply seek to belittle someone else. God doesn't cause these things to happen, but God does allow it because we have made the choice. But I believe in each of these cases, God, the Holy Spirit, is desperately trying to speak into our lives so that we do not harm others, but instead treat others with dignity and respect. Even when we have been treated poorly, God wants us to treat others with respect. Yes, the truth is that sometimes people suffer because of other people's decisions or actions. So did my niece. And her parents suffer because of others? Why is Mitchell, this little boy we've been praying for, and his parents' suffering. Well, maybe it was a genetic disorder in their little bodies before birth. Maybe some environmental factor after birth. Maybe their little immune systems just couldn't get rid of those radical cells in their little bodies like so many other babies can. But I do not believe it was because God wanted them to hurt. Again, in our country, because of access to better foods, healthier lifestyles, and health care, people are living exceedingly longer. Mortality rates of newborns and children are smaller than they have ever been. Yet people still die. Although there have been advances in health care, people lead more sedentary and inactive lives, which is killing us. There are concerns of how pesticides, which help in food growth, and preservatives, which allow for a longer shelf life, each created to help, in fact, maybe hurting our health, or at least not helping our health. It happens not out of bad intent, out of very good intent, but it happens. Remember, decisions that we make can often cause our own suffering too. Not because we want them, but because we have fallen in a, we live in a fallen world where we can expect them to happen. It's almost unavoidable. Now, there are some sorrows and suffering that we should expect in this lifetime. There are. And we're told by Jesus and the Apostle Paul that there will be sorrows and suffering as we pick up the cross to follow Jesus. But these are directly related to our decision to become Christians. It existed in Jesus' day, and we can look, especially in the Middle Eastern countries around the world today, where people are still being persecuted, I mean really persecuted to death, because of who they believe in. So we can expect some suffering and sorrows. We also know biblically that God disciplines those he loves, even to test our faith. But would God cause someone to die to discipline or test our faith? No, I can't find biblically where God directly causes something like this to happen. Again, because of humankind's sin nature, there's suffering, and people will do unthinkable things to others and even themselves. From ignoring someone to intentionally hurting them. From destroying others to destroying themselves. God may allow it to happen, but that does not mean that God caused it to happen. Again, I know the Holy Spirit is working in all people's lives to draw them to the Father. God's intentions are always, always for good. Now, we know we cannot escape times where we will suffer. So, can you look at your suffering in the same light as the Apostle Paul? In Romans 8, he writes, "I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed to us. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed." You see, he's pointing our eyes to the author and perfecter of our faith, knowing that when God appears, everything will be made right. We will be back to God's original intent, where there will be no more sorrow or suffering, no more tears or pain. Paul goes on to say this in verse 28. Read it with me. "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Know that in the midst of all things, the times of good and the times of suffering, God is working for your good." For instance, many people who did not know God into adulthood often say that it was during a moment of crisis, of suffering in their lives, that they were first exposed to knowing God. God uses his suffering to draw people to himself, those who don't know him. God uses what is happening in their lives, and it is God working for their good. It is moments when people are hurting that they will draw near to God in their sorrow. Again, God uses what is happening in their lives and is working for their good. Beyond the cause of suffering, can we respond like Job? The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Praise be to the name of the Lord. Will you remember, like the suffering psalmist, in the midst of your groaning, say, "Yet you are enthroned as the Holy One. You are the one Israel praises. In you our ancestors put their trust. They trusted and you delivered them. To you they cried out and were saved. In you they trusted and were not put to shame." Will you say in the midst of your groaning, like the suffering psalmist, "I will declare your praises. I will declare your name to my people. In the assembly I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All of you descendants of Jacob, honor him. Revere him, all you descendants of Israel." Will you look beyond your suffering to the one who has waiting for us a place? Will you look beyond your suffering so that God can use you in the midst of other people's lives? Can you look beyond your suffering to praise the name of Jesus? Will you remember when life seems most unfair to still your soul and remember that the Lord is on your side? Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you and praise you for your love and grace. And Lord, ask in Jesus' name that you would continue to walk with us through our days. That you would cause us to still ourselves. That you would help us to remember that you are still on our side, working that all things may be made good. God, draw us to yourself. God, hold us close and comfort us in our time of need. God, use us that others may know, even in the midst of suffering, you are there. We ask in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,